And they are living, angelic, spirit beings that carry out the will of God. And you might remember from Hebrews chapter 1, the end of the chapter, that angels, are they not ministering spirits to render service to those who will inherit salvation?
Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina.
And Dave, at this time, I'd like to, instead of our normal letter day where we share what listeners are saying about Equipping the Saints, I'd like to continue to encourage our listening audience to be praying for those who have been impacted by these hurricanes. Continue to pray for those believers who are trusting you and suffering, Lord God, that you would come to their aid and that you would use them even to reveal the hope that they have to others, that others may be saved. And also, right now, our country is at a tipping point, and I want to encourage our listeners to vote, to get out there and vote. This election is so important. I can't share my views in the context of Equipping the Saints, but I could share my personal views. And personally speaking, it's no question for me who to vote for. One candidate believes in the sanctity of life, and one does not. One candidate is being persecuted day in and day out, lies being told about them, and the other one is doing the persecution. So with this in mind, use your God-given privilege to get out and vote. This election is so important. Okay, well, let's get to our passage in Ezekiel chapter 1, verses 22 to 28.
Well, thanks, Greg. And if you're new to Equipping the Saints, head over to our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org, to learn more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Our web address is simply etsradio.org. Now, with today's message, here's our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Well, what is it that throws you for a loop? What things come upon you at life and blindside you? Certainly, we all are human. We all have certain things that happen to us in this fallen, cursed world, whether it's sinful people attacking us, saying evil things falsely on account of Christ, suffering for him, whether it's a physical trial or difficulty, whether it's a relational situation. You know, Jesus said he didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. The reality is when you come to faith, those who aren't of faith in your families, there's going to be a division until they come to faith, and we pray for that. But some of these things can come out of the blue and blindside us, and we wonder what's going on. Now, often we are prone to disobeying God's word. What do I mean by that? God says, do not lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Don't be wise in your own eyes, right? But we lean on our understanding on how to get out of these circumstances or whatever it might be, or even thinking about the circumstances, we lean on our own understanding. And yet we need to have a fresh view from Scripture on a daily basis of who our God really is. We sang, what a friend we have in Jesus. And yes, he is our friend, but he is also the God of the universe. He is the sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who is above all. We need a fresh view of who this God is who died for our sins, and who this God the Father who sent his Son to die for our sins. We need a fresh view of him. You see, because when we don't see him rightly, then we don't see our circumstances rightly. You know, it's like those kids that are getting bullied, you know, and they look at the bullies and they are cowering back. But then they have the big brother coming along and all of a sudden they're not fearful of the bully anymore because they see them in light of the someone who is stronger. Well, the reality is our God created all things. He is above all. He is above every situation and circumstance that we would go through. And we know from Scripture that he loves us. And those who are called according to his purpose, to his glory, that he turns all things together for good. So with that in mind, let's take a look at our study in Ezekiel. We're going to be looking at Ezekiel's vision. Turn your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 1. And we're going to be finishing the first portion of this vision before the Lord begins to call Ezekiel to what he will have him do. And we're going to be looking at verses 22 to 28. And again, as we begin this book, it's really important to remember the context. and most of you have heard it, so I'm going to abbreviate it. You can always go back and listen to the first message we did, which was an expanded context on this book. But we know from Deuteronomy 28, as the Israelites are on the plains of Moab, ready to enter the land, that God, through Moses, reiterates the law the second time. And in that, he shares the blessings and cursings for them if they were to obey the covenant that they agreed to or not. And part of the cursings were, if they were to disobey continually, that they would be ejected from the land in which they were ready to go into. They would be ejected violently for their disobedience and rejection of the Lord. Now, throughout Israel's history, we see in the Old Testament, these things are written for our instruction, that we would not crave evil things. They continually rejected the Lord. And I've talked about this in some of our other Bible studies, but God made a covenant with Abraham. And in that, all the nations would be blessed. But he also made a covenant concerning Israel, that they would be numerous as the sand of the sea and the stars. And yes, we have the nation Israel, but they were in unbelief. They weren't like their father Abraham, in a sense, who believed, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. And because of that, we see in Scripture that God brought the law because of transgression to hold this unbelieving nation under the law until Christ, as we say. And within that, we see that indeed they were in unbelief. They could have turned, they could have believed, they each had their individual opportunities, but they didn't. And the prophets, over and over again, year after year, came and proclaimed for them to repent. Now, the kingdom was divided because of Solomon's sin, divided afterwards because of God's favor to David. But it was divided because of Solomon's sin, and we had the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. 12 tribes, 10 in the north, 2 in the south. Now, the northern tribes continued, Israel continued to disobey, and the prophets continued to preach. And they were eventually exiled out of the land in 722 B.C. to Assyria. And then the southern kingdom, we have the Jews who were in Judah and Jerusalem. The southern kingdom, God continued to share with them that they needed to repent, that they needed to obey the Lord. He kept sending his prophets, who they killed one after another. And he kept sending them, but they did not listen. They hardened their hearts. They closed their ears, and they did not listen so as to obey the word of God. And then we see in 605 B.C. that Jerusalem is sieged by Nebuchadnezzar, the new superpower, in accordance with God's disciplinary action upon his people. And within that, that was the first exile in which Daniel and his friends were taken captive. Then we had the second siege in 597, and 2 Kings 24 records this, where 10,000 Jews are taken and Ezekiel is taken. And then we have, after 5 years in captivity, as we'll see today, be reminded, Ezekiel actually begins his ministry. We're going to see that. But then in 588 to 586, we have the third and final siege of Jerusalem. 18-month brutal siege prophesied back in Deuteronomy. And we have this siege where this gruesome ordeal ends with those who are remaining being taken from the land, and the walls destroyed, the city destroyed, the temple destroyed, and the land left barren. And so we have three deportations, 605, 597, and 586. Now, the book of Ezekiel, as I've mentioned before, is centered around the third and final siege. The first 24 chapters are oracles or prophecies leading up to that siege. From 25 to 32 are prophecies during that 18-month siege. And then in 33 and on, those are prophecies after the siege. Okay, so with that in mind, it's really centered around that. Now, we have the broad context. What about the narrow context? Ezekiel is in captivity, as we'll be reminded today. And he is prophesying to a captive people concerning the sins of those who are about to be judged and taken captive from Judah. And yet is it apparent, we see in prophet Jeremiah, that even though there has been two sieges and two deportations, that Israel still believes that they're right with God. And the false prophets are sharing a word of assurance, peace and safety, even prophesying falsely that Babylon would be done in 2 years. Not true. God made it clear that they had crossed a line and they were going into his discipline, and it would be for 70 years. And yet the false prophets were sharing evil voices of assurance, peace and safety. And guess what? An evildoer listens to lying lips. You wonder why people listen to lies? That's what Proverbs says. An evildoer listens to lying lips. They were wicked. They were in their sins and they listened to it. And so we have these false prophets sharing this, but yet God brings forth his true prophets. And here we have Ezekiel sharing with these exiles the truth about what God is going to do. And so with that in mind, we need to remember what we learned from the first three verses. Let's take a look at that from the first three verses. Now, it came about in the 13th year on the fifth day of the fourth month while I was by the river Shebar among the exiles. The heavens were opened and I saw visions of God. On the fifth of the month in the fifth year of King Jehoiachin's exile, the word of the Lord came expressly to Ezekiel the priest, son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Shebar, and there the hand of the Lord came upon him. So here we saw this. You might remember we saw that Ezekiel's name means God strengthens, and he would certainly need the strength to share with these rebellious people God's word because they weren't going to listen. We'll see that later on, chapter 2 and chapter 3. You're going to go, but they're not going to listen. That's hard ministry. Oh, it's real easy when everyone listens, but it's not reality, right? People don't listen. People have hard hearts. There's a remnant that listens, but people have hard hearts. And so we see his name, God strengthens. And we know from these first three verses that he is in exile in Babylon, the land of the Chaldeans. And he is on the river Shebar, where they had an area, Tel Aviv, that's where it was called, where they had a little settlement there of exiles. And he is there. And this portion begins with his prophetic ministry, as we see. Although he was a priest, he never served as it. But here, he is 30 years old, as we see in these first few verses. He has been in exile for 5 years, as we saw in these first three verses. And he saw visions of God. Okay? He says, the heavens were opened, end of verse 1, and I saw visions of God. And this is so important for us to understand. This is what this is about. It's about God and what he will do, not about all the stuff. The stuff points to something, as we'll say. Now, in this particular vision, it's relayed between verses 4 and 28, which we'll finish today. And then it goes into the latter portion where God, from this vision, calls Ezekiel to do what he wants him to do. And so it's a heavenly vision, visions of God. And we also saw, as I mentioned before, that it says on the fifth month of the fifth year, King Jehoiakim's exile, hey, he's been there 5 years. He's been there 5 years in exile. Now God is calling on him to share his word, as we'll see. And it says in this commentary in verse 3 that the word of the Lord came expressly or clearly or precisely or with certainty to Ezekiel. And we see the word of the Lord came to him. We're going to see that throughout this book 50 times. The word of the Lord. We're going to see that. So this book is about Ezekiel. No, it's about the word of the Lord. Yes, it's called Ezekiel, but it's about the word of the Lord through Ezekiel the prophet. So with that in mind, notice we have our passage, and let's turn it. I'm going to read it, and then we'll go back and review how we got to here, and then we'll look at it more clearly. Verse 22, now over the heads of the living beings there was something like an expanse, like the awesome gleam of crystal extending over their heads. And under the expanse, their wings were stretched out, one towards the other. Each one also had two wings covering their bodies, one on the side and on the other. And I also heard the sound of their wings, like the sound of abundant waters as they went, like the voice of the Almighty, a sound of tumult, like the sound of an army camp. Whenever they stood still, their wings dropped. And there came a voice from above the expanse that was over their heads. Whenever they stood still, they dropped their wings. Now above the expanse that was over their heads, there was something resembling a throne, like lapis lazuli in appearance. And on that which resembled a throne, high up, was a figure with the appearance of a man. Then I noticed from the appearance of his loins and upward something like glowing metal that looked like fire all around within it. And from the appearance of his loins and downward, I saw something like fire, and there was a radiance around him. As the appearance of the rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day, so was the appearance of the surrounding radiance. Such was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell down on my face, and I heard a voice speaking. That's what we're going to look at specifically. But if you'll remember, we need to understand that this is not the whole vision. We saw half of it last time, and we're going to review that briefly and then see how that relates to what we will see today. And before we begin here, I want to remind you of some things concerning visions. You know, a lot of people will tell you they've got visions of this, visions of that. They got visions of whatever it might be. You see people in churches saying they had a vision, whatever it might be. But the reality is, God has revealed in Hebrews chapter 1 that he spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets in many portions and in many ways. In these last days, he has spoken to us through his Son, whom he's appointed heir of all things, through whom he has made the world. We have the completed word of God. We have the faith once for all delivered to the saints. And apart from a time in which God's plan moves back to Israel for 7 years, where we have the day of the Lord, where there will be that horrible day of the Lord, there will be young men seeing visions and prophesying. Besides that part, there are no visions right now. We have the completed word. Now, I need to remind us also some few interpretive ground rules for looking at this passage. We need to recognize this. John writes in John 1:18, no man has seen God at any time. God in total. No one has seen God. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, he, speaking of Jesus, has explained him. We gather our understanding of God through God the Son. We see that he has explained him. So God cannot be totally grasped or described. We saw back in 1 Timothy, he dwells in inapproachable light. It's beyond us. This is the God of the universe. Yet, God has desired to reveal himself to us. And he has revealed what he wants us to know about him in his word. And secondly, we're not seeing what Ezekiel saw. We're reading what he saw. We're reading his description. It's quite a different thing to stand and see something than to describe it to someone else and hear it. But we are hearing an inspired description. This is exactly what God wants us to know about it. But as we will see, what he's describing is indescribable. He'll use those terms like or as or resembling or the appearance of. He can't quite nail it down because it's so grand. But we're going to see what we need to see. Again, 29 times in these 24 verses here, he has some type of like according to resembling, or that just means it's just way beyond us, right? And lastly, we're going to see that we need to let the vision itself interpret the vision. We need to see what God wants us to know about it and let the focus be what God has here. You know, I've mentioned this a lot to you. A lot of the false teaching out there these days is not exactly off or wrong. It's misweighted. It's unbalanced. The elements that God is not emphasizing, people emphasize. We're going to see there's wheels and there's angels and there's all kinds of crazy stuff, right? We're going to see why. But the real point is the one on the throne. He doesn't say, I was at the river Shebar and I saw visions of wheels in the sky. He doesn't say that. He saw visions of God. Yes, he does see that, but they point to something about the one that he is going to describe. Okay, so you might remember last time we saw the storm cloud coming, the great storm. We understand storms, don't we? You know, we're here. We live now in the south here. We see nice, clear day, sunny, oh, wonderful. And then we see these big, dark clouds moving, you know, and all of a sudden the wind starts moving. And all of a sudden, boom, it's pouring rain. And, you know, we're running inside, right? And the lightning and all that. Well, here it says, and I looked, behold, a storm wind, that's a tempest or whirlwind, it's translated whirlwind, same word Elijah was caught up in the whirlwind, same word used in the book of Job, where Job was answered by God in a whirlwind, okay? It says here, was coming from the north, a great cloud with fire flashing forth continually and bright light around it, and in its midst something like glowing metal in the midst of the fire. This looks like a storm, but all of a sudden there's some more things in here that look a little different. There's some glowing metal. There's flashing lights. Okay, this is how this vision starts. So Ezekiel's by this river, and he looks up, and he sees this with this flashing, you know, forthcoming from the north. I'm not going to go through this again, but that's symbolic of where judgment will be coming from. Indeed, we saw in Jeremiah 4, verse 6, let's turn there and read that. It's very clear that God is bringing the storm, and he is bringing it from the north. It's very clear. We need to know that. Jeremiah 4, verse 6. lift up a standard towards Zion. Seek refuge. Do not stand still, for I am bringing evil from the north and a great destruction. Okay? He goes on to describe it. He'll lament and wail later on and make waste and fierce anger of the Lord and all this stuff. God is bringing forth his anger upon the land because of their continual rejection as he faithfully, year after year, patiently called upon them to repent, and they would not repent. It even just got worse and worse, the wickedness where God would no longer allow it to continue in its form there. And so Ezekiel sees this bright light around the clouds and the rain clouds and the storm, and it's something like the midst of glowing metal in the midst of fire. And we saw that's the same terminology we're going to see in our passage. There's something in the middle of this, like glowing metal. We're going to see this one on the throne is described like this also. Okay. Now you might remember what we saw within the cloud, and I'll just read and kind of talk real quickly as we walk through this quickly. Verse 5, and within it, that's the cloud, there were figures resembling four living beings. And this was their appearance. They had human form. Each of them had four faces and four wings, and their legs were straight, and their feet were like calf's hoof, and they gleamed like burnished bronze. And under their wings and on their four sides were human hands. As for the faces and wings of the four of them, their wings touched one another. Their faces did not turn when they moved. Each went straight forward. As for the form of their faces, each had the face of a man. All four had the face of a lion on the right and the face of a bull on the left. And all four had the face of an eagle. Such were their faces. Their wings were spread out above. Each had two touching another being and two covering their bodies. Now, I mentioned last week that these are cherubim. And you say, well, wait a second, how do you know that? It doesn't say it anywhere in here. But we went to chapter 10. And chapter 10 clearly said, these are the beings that I saw at the River Shebar, and he calls them cherubim. Now, cherubs and cherubim, they are angelic beings. And we saw that Satan is a cherub. He was the covering cherub, but he fell. He fell in his great pride and was filled with violence and sin. We see that. And these cherubim seem to have a position where they reflect the glory of God. They have a special place in which they reflect his character in a sense. We see them in Revelation 4, holy, 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 I believe, bringing forth the praise and reflecting his glory, as we say. And so we see these cherubim, and now in Scripture they're portrayed at different times, in different places, in slightly different form and number, based on what God desires to reveal about their activity. They are there, they're cherubim, but it's symbolic about what he wants to show us about them, and we see that. And they are living, angelic, spirit beings that carry out the will of God. And you might remember from Hebrews chapter 1, the end of the chapter, that angels, are they not ministering spirits to render service to those who will inherit salvation? Okay, these are made by the Lord. These are elect angels. These are holy angels here in this context. And they are doing the Lord's will. And so what we see here is God is revealing in the spiritual sphere what is happening as it affects the physical sphere.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we close today's broadcast, what are some of your closing thoughts for us?
Well, Dave, what I'd like to close with is that we've just barely scratched the surface of what's truly going on behind the scenes in the heavenlies in this vision. And as we saw in the first few verses of this chapter, this is a vision concerning God. Well, next time we're really going to start to see what's going on in the heavenlies. So make plans to join us for our next edition of Equipping the Saints.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.